Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of On Point. I'm your host, Dr. J. Sometimes they call me the professor. Hope everyone's doing well out there in radio land, internet land, and that you had good weeks. So we have some pretty interesting topics for you this week. Today we're going to talk about hell in a handbasket. What's acceptable? What's not? And where do we go next? So this week we're looking at our segment, State of the Union. We're going to take an in-depth look at the thing that seems to be bombarding our everyday society and its functions, or even malfunctions, and its acceptance. It's acceptance of every little thing, every little nuance, every skewed or wayward malfunction in society, and considering those things the norm. You know that when we step over the norm, sometimes we're called the deviant. But after a while, if deviant behavior is repeated, it becomes accepted, and it eventually becomes a norm. So it's kind of an interesting little thing. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We're also going to look at when in reality the norm is forgotten and how that deviant behavior becomes the normal behavior. We're looking at the degree of abnormality that exists in everyday existence, everyday life, everyday function. And what about those ethics, those right from wrong, and all those different perspectives that we should be looking at? We're looking at guidelines. What is, what isn't in our best interest? And when do we draw that line in the sand? About those guidelines or that healthy dose of normality or even abnormality, how do we figure out which way to go? So that's what we're talking about today. And then we probably all deal with, you know, the different perspectives that we see in the media and the various things that folks are presenting that become the norm for us. How and why did that become the norm, and why is it so easy for us to accept that? And I'd like to point out a couple of things that I see that's very interesting. Currently in the media, we have Mr. Trump, who's doing his thing out there, and, you know, there are a lot of people who are voting for him. And I recall him giving a speech the other day, and he was speaking about taking someone who took 49 folks of Islamic faith and 50 folks, dipping bullets in pig's blood and shooting them all except the last person, and sending that person back to their folks to let them know what happened. And then he won the election. I thought that was very unusual, because, you know, this is supposed to be a place where we have religious tolerance, and we look at the various different perspectives that other people present, and we actually consider or view those to some degree, and maybe even dialogue about it. But it has become so virulent out there that these things are starting to become the norm. It's the norm for folks to bash each other out there. It's the norm for folks to talk nasty. I don't know if you've been following the elections, but during this, there's been some pretty nasty things. I think it's gone a little past mudslinging, which is really, really interesting. It's become just absolutely foul out there. But something else I wanted to talk about also is, you know, there are a lot of folks that are jumping on the Hillary Clinton bandwagon. Nothing wrong with that. You know, her becoming the first female president would be a very powerful thing on a lot of different fronts. And I just wanted to point out that it seems like some folks have lost their memories. I don't know if anyone recalls some of the legislation that President Clinton enacted. You know, a lot of folks, we talked about him, the Arsenio Hall show, and doing his thing, you know, playing the saxophone. And I think that, you know, folks refer to him as the first black president. I think there's a little more to the scenario than that. He did some things that assisted with mass incarceration. And he also put in some legislation that made crack and cocaine different penalties in the eyes of the law. And I thought that was very interesting because of the fact that, in essence, they are the same drug, but one is a little bit more refined and costs more money. and that's cocaine. Now, the penalty for cocaine is more tantamount to a slap on the wrist versus the penalty for crack, which was sometimes a very harsh sentence. And I see these folks rushing out to support Ms. Clinton, which, like I said, you know, we all have our choices out there. There's nothing wrong with choice. I just think that folks should, before they accept that as the norm and the way to go, think about doing a little bit of research and actually looking at your candidate. Saying any or all the other candidates are perfect by no means. I just think that before we normalize something, say, let's just jump on the bandwagon, perhaps we should investigate that just a little bit more. So want to get a little bit deeper into that. I'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 347-855-8662. And if you'd like to reach out to us on Twitter, we're at OnPointPHX. And then you can also email us at Gmail from our Gmail account or to our Gmail account, which is onpointphx@gmail.com. So we're talking about abnormality and how it becomes something we accept. Now, how does that actually happen? What changes things? And let me go back. Let me talk about, just for 1 second, disciplining kids. Remember, and I don't know about you folks, but I got spankings / beatings as a kid. My mom grabbed me by the ear and pulled me from one place to another when I wasn't supposed to be there. I remember a particular instance where my mom and stepdad went into a hospital to see my stepdad's father, who was very ill. And there were some young boys that were, you know, 2, 3, 4 years older than me that were just goofing off and playing around in the lobby. And so I joined in. And I didn't realize as all of them started to settle down and stop moving around that my mom had shown up behind me. So I continued jumping over the seats and being goofy and all those other things. And she grabbed me right in front of everybody by my ear and pulled me into the hall and eventually to the car where I got a severe, we'll call it disciplining. And I guess that's what I want to talk about is, you know, now in this current epoch, it's very interesting because disciplining kids is abnormal. And I'm not saying you should beat your kids senseless. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not even saying you necessarily have to put hands on your kids. But I think that there is a lack of discipline that it just you don't see the discipline now. We see timeouts and, you know, folks get frustrated and walk away from their kids or different things like that. We've lost control, but that's normal. And I think it's very interesting. I have no problem talking to my son in public and saying, hey, here's how we operate. We operate very professionally at a certain level, and you just don't do things that you see other kids do. And it's strange to me that that's not acceptable for someone to speak to a kid. You know, you see there are folks that call the police when they folks disciplining their kids. And I don't mean, like, punch them in the face. I'm not saying that. But, hey, come here, sit down, let me talk to you for a second. That's considered abnormal, and I find that very odd. I recall years ago, I'm going to date myself with this one, but I was watching the Sally Jesse Raphael show. I think I was homesick or something like that, and I remember hearing a young lady say that when she was frustrated, she would actually soccer. When she's frustrated, that's a good, healthy release. And as I began to listen a little deeper, what she was saying is she was referring to her mother, and she said, I get upset. I sock her. I sock my mom, like sock her in the gut. And I remember as a kid, you didn't even think about talking back to your mom. You didn't talk back to your mom, and you had a pretty good idea that she could read your mind. So you were very careful as to what your thoughts were. Because, you know, my mom openly threatened to end my life as a kid. I don't know if she was really serious, but that was the norm. Now we look at spanking kids and corporal punishment and things like that, and that's considered very abnormal. Just an interesting perspective, I think, that's out there. So it's one of those little interesting things. I think that we've grown to accept a lot of things that were unacceptable before. And we find ways to chalk it up as, oh, that's someone's artistic expression, or that's this, or that's that. It's not. acceptable in some instances to do certain things. It just isn't. But somehow we found a way to make that the case. How do we change that? Where do we go? That's the question of the day. So once again, our call in number, 347-855-8662. You can get us at onpointphoenix or onpointphx@gmail.com, and also reach us via Twitter at onpointphx. Okay, so I know some of you folks like to hit us in the evening show, and we'll be talking a little bit more about this topic tonight, a little bit deeper on RadioPhoenix.org tonight around 7. You know, some of you have made the transition. That's really nice. We enjoy hearing from you all. And you're a little bit more active in the evenings. I appreciate that. Feel free to be just as active on Saturday morning, too. That's always a good thing. So one of the other things I'd like to talk about is in grades. And what I mean by grades is the scores that students get in school. I remember where there used to be pride attached to grades. And I found it very interesting as I became a teacher and moved into the college sector. I found that a lot of students, especially of certain ethnic extraction, seemed to look at grades a little bit differently. I found that very interesting because we wore it as a badge of honor. You know, grades and how you scored and all those different things. That was a big thing. And I remember having a student come up to me and ask what his grade was. And I told him, and it was a C. And he was absolutely ecstatic. And I didn't quite get it. I didn't understand why he was happy with the C. But where he was from, a C had become the A. That was outstanding. And he was happy and pleased with it. He was just looking to pass. And I thought, wow, you know, I remember going to school with a young lady, and her folks were very, very, I won't say, maybe stern on grades. They were very, they emphasized that grades were important. And I remember as a kid, I got a B in a class, and I was happy. I was like, wow, it's a B. It wasn't quite an A, but I had a C. You know, it was above average. I was happy. And she also got a B. And she broke down in tears. And she cried and cried and cried. And I asked her, I said, hey, what's wrong? She says, I got a B. And I'm thinking to myself, I know, isn't it great? And she said, no, my folks are going to kill me. And it took a minute for that to sink in. And that kind of changed my perspective on things. And the perspective became, a C or D or B is average. It's not stellar. It's not something that stands out. So I changed my perspective. And that for me became the perspective that I presented to my son. And I'm going to go a little deeper to that, to that point here in just a moment. But I'd like to share a little something with you. Support for On Point is brought to you in part by Stuffed Olives. They have some of the best olives. I've tried them. They have some. They stuff them with blue cheese. I've had some stuffed with jalapeno. Those are really good. They have balsamic vinegars and olive oil from Spain, Italy, California. I actually know Bob and his wife. They do food shows, and they'll drizzle olive oil over croutons and toast them up and take them to a food show so you can, you know, dip them in olive oil with little toothpicks and things like that. Really, really good product. They have cherry Bordeaux balsamic vinegar, and that is just absolutely amazing. I would dare say you can just about drizzle that on ice cream. It's really, really good. But you can reach them at stuffitolives.com. That's www.stuffitolives.com. And for any orders of $100, after you place your order, just send an email to bob@stuffitolives.com. It's bob@stuffitolives.com with a promo code of radio. He's going to throw in an item of your choice absolutely free. So good people. They have great olives, and they're actually genuinely good people just to deal with and work with, too. So I just want to say that. Now, getting back to this normality thing, I remember sharing a conversation with a colleague how I had a very high expectation of my son. That was my norm because I'd gotten away from that abnormal perspective of a C being okay or you know, a B being all right. You know, a B is acceptable, but I've always elucidated to him that I expect A's. straight A's across the board. He's in advanced classes. Why go to an advanced class and not get the A? That was my perspective. So my colleague mentioned to me that maybe my perspectives or my expectations were extremely high. And I had to think about that and wonder, like, is that really the case? That what was I pushing him too hard? Because that's just my perspective. You know, I also coach his chess team, and he plays. I'm an avid player. You know, I was president of the chess club. I was a nerd. I was team of nerds. President of the chess club, and, you know, I have a couple good titles under my belt and played in the military. So I have a certain perspective, and my thought process was when he walks into that room, he should be the most feared kid in that room. That's the way I looked at it, that everyone said, hey, that's the coach's son. He's absolutely just a brilliant guy on the board. You know, no one can beat him. She went on to tell me that she thought maybe my expectations were really, really high. My question is, were they? I mean, should we have such high expectations? Is that acceptable? Is that not the norm? You know, what is it that we're supposed to be accepting of? What's okay? You know, we have other topics that we're going to cover tonight, you know, concerning maybe perhaps people's attire and how they function in society and things like that. But on this particular topic, I just thought that was very interesting that maybe, you know, I had to consider, did I have a really high expectation of what's acceptable? Me personally, I took that perspective with me into school. And I remember getting my first A-minus when going through my doctoral level courses. And my heart was broken. And it was broken because I had, I think, a 93 or 94%. And my professor considered that an A-minus, and my 4.0 GPA was trash. And I remember being just so upset. And I found it interesting that my perspective had changed from that of an eighth grader in Southern Arizona looking at having a C or a B being a really good grade to having my heart broken because I didn't get the perfect A or that 4.0. So I guess one of my other questions would be, if we raise our level of expectations, do we then lower our level of what's acceptable? I think for me personally, yes. That's just my perspective. So I'd love to hear from you. 347-855-8662. And we're talking about hell in the handbasket. What's acceptable, what's not, and where do we go next? Interesting out there. I don't know if you folks are following some of the news. And earlier I mentioned Ms. Clinton and how a lot of folks are supporting her. Which kind of brings me over to the death penalty. I know it's kind of a harsh topic to talk about, but one of the things that I wanted to talk about was Ricky Ray Rector. I'm not sure if you folks are familiar with him, but he died of lethal injection at 10:09 back in January of 92, I believe it was. And what was interesting is President Clinton, at the time he was governor, had a chance to actually provide clemency for this event. And he didn't. So what happened here is he was 40 years old. He was convicted in November of 82 and sentenced to die for the 81 shooting of a police officer, Bob Martin, in Conway, Arkansas. He was also convicted of another murder that occurred 2 days earlier. So they're saying that part of the brain was destroyed. Now, here's the interesting thing. After shooting Officer Martin, he turned the gun on himself and destroyed part of his brain. His lawyer said that even though he could speak, his mental capacities were so impaired, he didn't know what death was or understand the people he shot are not alive. So they basically compared him to a zombie. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, what happened is this gentleman was sentenced to death. And this is not a judgment about, you know, if someone kills someone, should they be put to death or anything like that. I think what I'm asking you to look at is the norm of just accepting a candidate because we have a history with them or we know them but do we ever really look at what they're about? Now, here's the interesting thing. Mr. Clinton did not grant clemency for this gentleman. And it was evident that this guy did not have his faculties about him when he was having his final meal before his execution. He asked if he could save his dessert for later. Now, I bring that up because, to me, I find that is very sad. And the reason being is if someone asks you that question before they go into the electric chair or gas chamber or they're going to be hung, that makes me wonder if that person really has the faculties to do everything that we expect to. And I think that the guy was off. And I think that when someone has a mental issue like that, it's not acceptable for us to just put that person to death. Now, you know, there are different perspectives on the death penalty. I get that. Some people think it's acceptable. Some people are against it. We have to look at the prison system. What was it really designed for? It was supposed to be to rehabilitate people. Does it really do that? What does a prison industrial complex do? You know, that's a whole other conversation that we can have in a whole other show, because I don't know how many of you know that there are a lot of folks who invest money in those. It's the modern day slavery. It is the equivalent to some very nasty things. So let's put it that way without going too far off topic. But the point that I'm making here is this. If we're looking at what's acceptable and what's not, isn't that acceptable? Do we side with someone whose mate espouses values such as that, or that thinks that mass incarceration is the way to go? Is that acceptable? Do we forgive and forget, or do we forgive and remember? What do we do? It's something to think about, you know? So 347-855-8662, we're discussing Hell in the Handbasket, what's acceptable, what's not, and where do we go next? I don't know if anybody out there has noticed where you are. The gas prices are kind of dropping, and a little bit off topic there, but I wanted to kind of point that out. You fill up your car for $25-$30 now, just kind of an interesting little thing. A few months ago, gas was $3-$4 a gallon, and really, really crazy. I'm enjoying these low gas prices and hoping they stay this way. You know, in the summertime, they kind of go up a little bit, but we'll see what happens. All right, so if we're looking at what's acceptable, we see things all the time. And I think sometimes folks see things and they don't stop and acknowledge or help out. And to me, that's kind of scary. I remember talking to my sister years ago, and she said, hey, when something's going wrong, yell fire. Don't really yell what's going on, because no one helps. They help with the fire, but they don't help with the other stuff. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing that has become the norm, too, because what is it that makes people not want to help? And I understand the litigious side of it, where people are worried about, you'll get sued if you break their ribs trying to give them, you know, CPR or something like that. But when someone's legitimately in trouble, does anybody remember the old days when maybe there was something going on? There was a guy, maybe he had cornered up a lady and was saying some things that were out of line. And guys would stop and be like, hey, is everything all right here? Nowadays, guys don't do that so much anymore. You know, it's funny, jump right in when kids are being abused, but when humans that are larger are being abused, it seems like we kind of forget about that. It's just kind of an interesting little thing. But we're going to go a little bit more into detail on that tonight. Tonight we're going to be on, you can reach us at TuneIn or RadioPhoenix.org, Live 365. Just search for RadioPhoenix.org and then look for On Point. We'll be on from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight. We're going to actually break this topic down a little bit more. We're going to have a bit of a roundtable/panel and some good conversation going on, and kind of delve a little bit deeper. I know tonight we got some folks that are kind of going to get this topic a little bit heated up because they have some different perspectives. I don't think we all will agree tonight. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So, folks, thanks so much for tuning in. We are going to wind it down for this episode. Invite you to join us tonight at 7 p.m. RadioPhoenix.org, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what in the world is happening out there. Why is all this stuff acceptable, and what is it that we're going to do next? We've accepted a lot of things, some of the things we haven't, but why are they so acceptable? So I'd like to sign off for now, and as my brother Trey says, remember that every thought that you have is grand, and every idea that you warrant, that you have is warranted. And just make sure that everything that you do, folks, is always on point. See you tonight.